You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 12. Matthew and chapter 12. And we might open in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to deal with us according to your grace. It's your day, your time. All the moments of yesterday are gone. And we're headed, all the ones that are at the moment are going to disappear. And God, we're headed into the tomorrow. So we're looking to you to equip us, enlighten us, give us understanding that we may be able to stand, that we may be able to withstand with understanding. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Matthew chapter 12. And looking, if we can, our Lord ministering, reminding the people, remember, the only sign he's going to give them, chapter 12, verse 38, 39, 40, is the sign of the prophet Jonah, his resurrection. Now, having said that, moving through the context, you come down in the light of the generation that doesn't believe. In the end of verse 45, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? Now he said, no, they identified him based on Mary and Joseph and his half-brothers and sisters, and they wanted him to be on their level. He immediately brought them into a whole nother realm to understand. Verse 49, he stretched forth his hand in this room, in this building, the people are all over the place, packed in there, and he swings around with his hand, and he answered, and verse 49, he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, to his disciples and the believers, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. Family, a wonderful, wonderful relationship. That's what we looked at this morning a little bit. God is the only, he's the only God. God in his wonderful triunity is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And how do we understand that? In the sequence that God has chosen is to honor him as Father. He is the Creator, the Redeemer, and thus the Savior. And everyone and everything, everywhere, John 1, Gospel of John chapter 1, 1, 2, 3, he created everything, period. And everything owes its creation, including us creatures, to God, who is the Father. He is the Creator, the Begetter, to bring things to pass. Now, and in the light of that, and they heard that. So if they do, my disciples, as they do the will of God, they are uniquely related to me. Now, over, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 14. The Gospel of Mark and chapter 14. And picking up, if I may, remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he goes to the trial and the cross, and he said this, 14, Mark 34. He saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. How so? Even unto death itself. Tarry ye here, Peter, James, and John, tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He knew he was going to go and be crucified. He knew the hour had come. Therefore, he says, verse 36, Abba, Father. Abba, Hebrew. Father, Greek. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. God, I want your will, as God the Son wants to outwork God the Father's will. And in his perfect humanity, he's going to bear the sin of the world, your sin and mine, in his own body on the tree. He's going to do that. So what? To establish a relationship. He pointed to his disciples and around them, and he said, these are my brethren, my mother, my father, my brother, my brothers and sisters, my mother, not his father, but his mother, brothers and sisters. They're my family. That's my family. That's an awesome thing. Just to think about that. To be part of God's, we could have sang it, my family. God to the angels, and God will say, see my family. See my family. Isn't that interesting? That's awesome. Awesome. Part of the family. We almost ought to see it. Part of the family. Now, having said that, over to Philippians and chapter 2. And Philippians in chapter 2. And picking up, if I may, in thought, chapter 2 and in verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. Our Lord. Remember the relationship that God created you. God died for you. He's the only Savior. God created you and died for you. He's looking as he's the Father. He's the Father of his creation, and he wants his creation to be part of his wonderful person. The reason he created the family, humans, is to have a unique relationship to him that angels don't have. Angels don't have what you and I are able to have. So, we have a unique relationship to God, and that's what he's after. And therefore, Father, not my will, but thy will. God, I know what you're after, and I'm going to go to the cross, and I understand it's necessary. Without it, it can never happen. Now, Philippians chapter 2, to say it another way, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So God, you did all of that, not that you wanted it, you didn't want to have to go through it, but boy, you became a just like us, and in the process, you humbled yourself down to become just like us in order that you could die, pay the penalty for our sin, and rise again, and offer us the wonderful gospel, the good news, the wonderful life, the uncreated life that you give us. Verse 9, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, so God, that's what you did for us. Absolutely, I did that. And I did that, and you know, in John 1:12, well, we're going to turn that because I just wanted you to check it. I want you to see it. I want you to stamp it. John chapter 1, if I can. John chapter 1. And picking up, if I may, in verse 11. He came unto his own, Jewish people, and they received him not. So therefore, and God already has given the offer, and now he's just reminding everybody that God has been fair all the way along, and now it's time for whosoever. But as many as received him, verse 12, received him personally, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege, word, authority, to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, a simple, wonderful, necessary statement, did you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Not accept him, did you receive him? Did you receive him as your Savior? And if so, at that moment, you became a child of God. Nothing to do with your feeling or anything else. You became a child of God the minute you received him. You didn't make that happen. God did. When you were born of your mom and your dad and your mother and father, you received life. And all you did is receive it because you were born again. And you became their child, their son or daughter. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God received you as his child. The same as when you were born, mom and dad, your mother and father, received you as their son or daughter. That's easy, isn't it? That's what happened when you got saved. That's if you get just get that. That starts us on the right track instead of just theoretically or just haphazardly reading. Now, having said that little bit, God, we're looking to you. So God, you wanted us to become sons. Sons of God. When we received you as our Savior, that's what you did in a most wonderful way. So now, God, when you did that, you made something wonderful happen. Over to Romans 6. As we look at God's Word in its big package, little pieces, big pieces, see the whole thing? That's God's Word. That's God's Word to the believing heart, the body of truth that is to be believed. It's the Word. Do you know we have a wonderful Constitution and Declaration? I just had it out yesterday. When you have it out, here's a paragraph. And that paragraph belongs to all of the other paragraphs. And that Constitution and Declaration consist of the beginning all the way through to the end. True? So when you say you believe in the Constitution and Declaration, you believe in not only that paragraph, you believe in all the paragraphs that make the Constitution the Constitution. You believe in the verse, John 1:12, that makes it's part of all of God's Word, and we're looking at it so that we understand that's God's Word. It's all comes together. It's called the Constitution Declaration. It's called the Word of God for us. Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, therefore, verse 4, 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism, identification, immersion, into death. We went, he died, we died. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead, when he died, he rose, we rose. By the glory, underlined, by the glory of the Father, you did it. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's called the gospel. And what does it do? It gives us, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You believe in your heart, not that he died. There's no question he died. He rose again. And you believe in your heart that he rose again. Life. That's what you're doing. You understand, he had to die, that's how, and lie, and he rose. And you believe that. That's how you get saved in your heart. You believe in a risen Savior. That's right. And we walk, verse 4, in newness of life. And the glory, it's the glory of the Father to have this relationship. The Father is glorified in his children, by his children. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And picking up, if I may, Ephesians 1, and in verse, starting verse 17. Ephesians 1, 17. That the God, the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what you may know, what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, so that you understand the unique relationship you have. It's the glory of the Father for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might become a child of God. That's the whole prayer. He's the Father. He's the Father of everybody. I have different occasions where I have sometime privilege of going and praying, whatever. And I make it known, and rightly so, God, our God, we're in the presence of God, our Father. Father, thank you. That's true of everybody, saved and unsaved. He's a Father of us all. There's no one anywhere that he didn't create, that he didn't die for. Whether they understand it or enjoy that is something else. Now, so here we are looking, and God is seeking to honor his wonderful person. And the glory of the Father is the issue. That God is going to be glorified in what he does. What is he doing? He's making us have a unique relationship to him as children. Over, if you would please, to Philippians chapter 4. And we keep turning the chapters. And Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to the riches of his glory by Christ Jesus. Now, unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God, it's all about you being glorified. How so? To be made known and make a wonderful impression that you're able to take whosoever's and save them and give them a unique relationship to you. Now you anticipate, you said that before you were, our Lord was crucified in Matthew chapter 12, etc., 50. These are my mother, my brothers and sisters, family. Now, and they all looked. And here's his family, human family outside the door. And here is, and he said, no, these are my family. That's your family? But what about our family? Our blood and gut. Relationships. They are there. They're only there for a moment, and that's all. And they're all gone. It all is terminated. No matter who, what relationship they have, it all is ending. If it isn't ended yet, it's going to end, and it's all faulty and frail. God, the real relationship you have is to God the Father. And that lasts for how long? Forever. And to his people, how long does that last? Forever. I'm related to you. If you're a real believer, I am part of you. You're part of me. Otherwise, we aren't. But if you are, we are related in the Lord Jesus Christ in a most eternal way. Do you understand? If the Lord were to come tonight, come tonight. If he would come, and Larry and them will be there up ahead of us. And at the moment, we're all going to meet him, and we're all going to be one. Oneness, we just shared it. One. All the rest is gone. All the other relationship, or children, father, mother, everyone's doing their thing. But you as a believer understand that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to be that first, foremost, and forever. And all the rest of it is temporal and conditional. And then you adjust to it because you want going. You can't make them. You can't make people be part of you. God, they have to be part of God, and if they're rightly part of God and they understand it, then they're going to be part of us. If they don't understand it, they aren't going to be part of us. That's all. They got a whole other view of the Bible and God. That's fine. Philippians. So God, to God our Father be glory forever and ever. Over to Colossians. I don't mean to linger so long, but I'm just trying to drive home the point. Colossians, and in chapter 1, picking up again in that great prayer, another prayer, Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So God, we're looking, and it's an awesome thing. God, you did that. It's your glory. My Father, the Lord Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. He said, Abba, Father, that's what I want. I want your will in order to accomplish my birth in Bethlehem, etc., why I'm in this body as God the Son, and in my perfect deity, in my perfect humanity. I want you to know why. God, it's to honor you and to bring about the wonderful plan and glory of you, our Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about. So that's pretty impressive, pretty important, and gives me a lot of leverage to understand, is God going to do what he says? Absolutely. Absolutely God's going to do it. Why? It's his glory. It's his glory that's at stake. That's why he's doing it. You know, what about we open the Red Sea like Moses or something? No. He wants to know. He wants relationship. Hang on to that. So now, in the light of that, so God, as we look to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, served the will of God the Father. We honor the Lord Jesus Christ so that he, in turn, as he is honored, the Father is honored. Remember the Lord said to the little children, come unto me. And when he said to the disciples, you receive the little children in my name. Why? Because when I save them, when you receive them, they're part of my family. You're part of my family. You receive them into your life. You receive them. When you receive them, you receive me. When you receive me, you receive my Father. It's impossible to have me without my Father. Now, so having said that and looking at that, if I can, so the gospel in all of its wonderment has and gives God's intents for a unique personal relationship to God in a wonderful, full, flourishing, fruitful, deep way, deeply rooted in God's eternal person. And it's right and it's real. And God, you meant it for us to have an experience of your wonderful person, the fruit of the Spirit of God. We're to have a wonderful experience of your saving grace. We're going to know, Father, that you love us in the Son of God. Well, how am I going to know that you love me in the Son? Because I'm going to treat you as a son. I'm going to treat you as my child. I'm your father. I'm going to treat you as my child. You will know that I love you. Think of Hebrews 12. If I don't chasten you, a father chastens those he loves. And if God doesn't bother with you, you are illegitimate children. You don't belong to him. You don't belong. No chastening, no belong. He chastened those he loves. Wow. Now, so having said that, so in the light of that, God the Father, in and by God the Son, God the Father, in the God the Son, and God the Son, in the believing heart, having the Son of God, and the Father of God, having that, they have the Son, the person, the believing heart, has a unique relationship to God. And that isn't that's another word. It isn't like in John, the son, there's a word son for child, being born into the family. This isn't that word. This has to do with a unique, wonderful, it expresses the origin and source of life. Son, a son. You're brought into being a son. There's words, children, we got that. Son, we got that. There's the word that's called adoption. You're born again into my family. I make you a son. I adopt you. I got to say that so fully. A little child starts out and grows. But God is more than that. Absolutely. When you get saved and know the Lord as your Savior, you not only become my child instantly, but you become my son in all of its benefit. We are the full benefit of being a son. Adoption, to be placed, verb, to be placed as a son. Adoption, to be placed fully. You step on the outside, you step through the door, and everything inside the room is yours immediately. You become a son instantly with all of its benefits. How long does it take? It doesn't take 2 minutes. You're adopted with all son, full benefits. You don't grow up in it. You got them. You got them. You just have to learn them. You have to exercise them as a child of God. And therefore, God, you did that to have the word son, to have the benefit, the fellowship of life, a unique relationship to your wonderful person in a most wonderful way. So God, you're looking to glorify yourself in this relationship. And so we want to go. We want to glorify you. We want to honor you. Well, what can we do? Be what you're supposed to be, a child. A son, be one. How am I going to be one? You're going to say, Abba, Father. Our Lord used the same term, only that's his father. He never says our father. We say that. It's his father, and we have a father. He has a unique relationship to God that we never have, can never have. Never have it. Nope. No, we're his children. And our Lord will say, my Father and your Father. Because it isn't the same. Same God, but you'll make it possible because you're the Son and you make all of this possible. So God, you bring us into the family of God with all the privileges and all the privileges, and you're looking for us to have a unique relationship to you, and to have, you are responsible to us to be our Father. And we are responsible, if we understand that we have a responsibility, corresponding responsibility, to do what? You have the exclusive right to be God, to be the God, to be our God. We have no debate with you. You're the only God and the only Savior. You're the Creator. And in the process of that, we are going to fulfill all of our wonderful relationship to you. God, we're related to you, and we understand. We're obligated. You're obligated to be our Father, and we're obligated to be your children in a unique sonship, in a unique relationship. And therefore, since that is true, we can fulfill your wonderful plan for our life, to be your body, to be able to fill all of the family business in a family way. We belong to you. You're the Father, And we fulfill the family business in a most awesome way. And just to hang on to that little word, go with me, please, over to the Gospel of Luke, as you know, just to touch it. Our Lord said it. You'll remember it. We did it. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 49, the same kind of, they always having to struggle with his humanity in the Lord's deity, and he always tried to help them. So here in verse 48, chapter 2 of Luke, "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Remember, he's 12 years old. "And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me?" Verse 49, Wist know you not that I must be about my father's business? Don't you understand? My heavenly father. But Joseph, no, you're not my father. My father is God. My father is God. And I'm in the family's business. That's what I'm doing. Not my will, but thy will be done. I'm in the family business. God, it's a wonderful thing. So God, what have you done? You've brought us into a unique relationship to experience your wonderful obligation to be father and our responsibility as children, sons, to be responsible for you to be father so that we can fulfill the family business in a family way. We belong to you. So God, we want all of what we do to be identified with who you are. Well, so now, having said that, over to Romans 8. And in Romans chapter 8, may I pick up, please, in thought. Romans 8, by the time you remember now, just to lock it in, no loss of time. Romans 8, verse 8. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Impossible. But, if you know the Lord as your Savior, we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of God. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and you can't have the Son without the Spirit of God, you can't have the Father without the Son. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You have to have. He dwell in you. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Christ crucified your body. That's why you can be saved and are able to go and have a wonderful relationship. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life." Verse 11. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, inside of you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal, earthly, frail bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And so you're going to be stimulated. You're in an earthly body, corruptible body, perishing body, with all the problems. But be of good cheer. If you've received the Lord as your Savior, then you have to have the Spirit of God. You have to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. It has to be. And in verse 14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons." As God leads and develops and takes us, what's he doing? He's developing our relationship to God as what? Sons. What are you doing, God? I'm trying to help you understand. I want you to understand the relationship for the glory of who I am. I want you to be a son. And the Spirit of God is going to help me understand that I'm to be a son. Now, and verse 15, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, placed as a son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's right. The minute you get saved, God's going to help you. Understand, you became a full-blown son in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we say, Abba, Father. That's what God made possible in the person of Jesus Christ, so that we can, as he addressed God the Father in his perfect humanity, so we can address God the Father in our redeemed humanity. And if children, verse 17, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So all of that going along and developing, wonderful, wonderful, privileged position, heirs, joint heirs, no question, showing the relationship, that's right, we're children, heirs, and showing relationship, God the Father, God the Son, and the starting point fixes the relationship. When you received him as your Savior, you became a child of God. And that's what Paul's going to say in Galatians over there for a minute. That's how Paul gets saved. That's how you get saved. When you receive the Lord as your Savior. And what happens? Galatians 1, as you know, in verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, God made me, created me, and he allowed me to be a terrible rascal against the church, and finally I woke up on the Damascus Road and got saved. And how did you get saved? He revealed, verse 16, his son in me. And we just read that in Romans 8. If he isn't in you, then you aren't saved. That's correct. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have to either have him or you don't. It isn't a talk about it, feel about it. No, it's for real. And I have to have that. If I don't have that, I can't fulfill anything. I can't do it. So God, here we are looking, and your wonderful, wonderful purpose, remember, chapter 4 of Galatians. Chapter 4 of Galatians, picking up. And if I can, chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, there's your word, made of a woman, made under the law, born in Bethlehem of Judea. For what? To redeem them that were under the law, that purpose we might receive what? The adoption of sons, to be placed as sons, as sons, and so much so, and because you are sons, verse 6, same word, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, the same word, into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So the Spirit of God understands his wonder. What did you make possible, Lord? I made possible for you to have a unique relationship to God, for the Father to be glorified, to be a son. And to have a son. That's the whole purpose. And the Spirit of God understands that's why Christ died on the cross for us, to have this unique privileged relationship. And having this unique privileged relationship, he helps us right off. Well, how many days did it take to know that I'm a child of God and he's my Father? It took 2 minutes for me to read it, understand it. If I don't read and don't read and don't think, I'm in the darkness. I received him as my Savior, and God's gracious. That doesn't mean you aren't saved, but boy, you aren't going to be able to go very far. You need to. That's why he gave us his word. Why do you think his word is missing? Because people don't want his word. That's why. Do it another way if you didn't get that. The whole world. Why isn't it over there in China and India? Why? They don't want it. They're communists. They don't want God. They hate God. God's an anathema. They hate him. They deny him. He doesn't exist. We're a product of evolution. They can do all that. That's true. But God, but so they the world doesn't want. Think of the people. How many people live in the state of Connecticut? X number. How many people in the state of Connecticut, unknown to us, are really saved, are reading the Bible? How's that? Better. How many are reading and studying the Bible? What it says. How many? And then, of how many that are reading and studying it, that little group, how many are understanding what they read? How many are understanding what they read? How many lives are being changed because they understand? They aren't understanding because they don't want to understand. And you have to face up to that. Otherwise, we'd be different. We are what we are because we want to be. And you have to want to be, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that we may grow. Now, so here in Galatians chapter 4, sliding over if I can, as you know, verse 19, my little children, there's your word, little children, born again once, be little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And Paul, what are you looking for? Well, you received him as your Savior. You ought to be going, and it's all right to start with milk. It's all right to have milk. But hey, when you're 30 years old and you're still having milk and you've been saved, not even saved, that's not good. That's not good. You got milkitis. No, it's no good. You gotta grow. The meat, grow, develop, understand. Your children, sons, be sons. And we aren't. The average person going in and out of church that may or may not carry the Bible, read and may not read it, coming and doing, they have their program, their worship, that they're friends. Why do you think we do it? Because we have friends. It isn't about friends, it's about family. Isn't it? It's about family, not friends. About being God's children. Being sons. We belong together. We're family if we're saved. It isn't about friendship. That doesn't mean friendship isn't there. But we're looking for fellowship. That's what we're looking for. God, you got to help us. Now, so in the light of the family business, God, we're looking for you to deal with us. And give us, and to understand, we have that unique privilege, a privilege to be saved and set apart, to be children, to have the wonderful, wonderful, exclusive right to know you as our Lord and Savior in a very family way, to be able to say, Abba, Father. And you want us to what? Grow. I travail in birth until you got saved. Then why aren't you growing? Think of Galatians again. Why aren't you growing? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with all the years and you don't grow? Did you develop? Did you get the truth that changes your life? Has your life changed? How much has it changed? How much have you learned? You say, well, I've been a Christian. Be careful how you boast about it. I've been a Christian 25 years. Show me the proof. For 25 years, you ought to know something. You ought to have a changed life in a marvelous way, shouldn't you? Something should happen. 25 years. You ought to be different, man, if you absorbed. But we don't absorb. That's the trouble. And God has to help us. He's long before being angry. He helps us, bears with us, so we can develop, so we can fix things and change things and get on with it. To be sons indeed. Wow. So God, Paul, is for the Galatian believers, he said, you guys got to grow up. Get with it. And that was a wonderful thing. It's a caring thing. You know, if I had little children, and they were still not growing and not developing, and apart from some legitimate reason, I would want to get after them. That's what I'd do. I'd say you've got to grow up. The trouble is we all become adults and we never grow up. We become adult children. And we get all the same dumb habits. We get a big job. We have a job at Joe Doak's paint shop or something. And we get all the different things we do. And we have it. Well, we didn't grow up. We're little kids inside. We got all our temperament and all our dumb things. It's part of our nature. And you all, wow. So God, you got to help us. That's right. And that's what you want. You know, we have to be, I got to understand what I am. And God wants it. Your family doesn't want it. Your friends don't want it. People, the world doesn't want it. The government doesn't want it. No one wants it. Who wants it? God does. God wants you to grow. God wants you to know. God wants you to be a son. And say, well, what can I do for God? No, it isn't what you can do for God. It's what you can be for God. It's about being something. I'm a son, child of God. And I'm glad. When I ask me, anyone can ask me. President could ask me. A king should ask me. A pope something could ask me. They can ask me. I'm a child of God. I know the Lord is my personal Savior. I'm His son. In the Son, I am. Are you? I'm a son. God, I'm waiting. Do I deserve one? Not one drop of it. Nothing to do with my feeling. It has to do with the reality that it is so. Wow. So now, in our little bit, in mumbling along here. Now, over if you would to 1 John. Over to 1 John. Oh, in chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Now, you want to be careful that God deals with our heart in such a way so that we don't get tied up in the world, because the world has no place for God at all. So the world system, worldly practices, all the system is not. I'll read it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the Father, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not N-O-T in him. So you can't have both. You're either for or against him. But I want this, and I want that in the world. Then you don't want what God wants. You have chosen what you want, and you're going in the direction of what you want. You can't have your cake and eat it. You can't do that. It's impossible. But that's what we want. We think we can have it, but in having it, we lose it. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, remember Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, they that do the will of God, these are my brothers and sisters and mother. Verse 17, the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So God, we have a unique relationship to you, a privileged relationship to you. Now, chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue. You're going to understand the truth, and the truth will set you free. You shall continue in the Son and in the Father. That's right, the Son and the Father. It's all about knowing and having that unique relationship to Almighty God in a very special, special way. Now, over if you would, please, in the chapter 5 of 1 John, reminding us, chapter 5 and verse 20, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us believing heart, he that hath the Son hath life, a believing heart, that we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And by the way, this relationship, this is the true God and eternal life. What's the true God? For you to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to have him be in God, you're a new creature in Christ, you're a child, you're a son. A son of what? A son of God. A child of God. That's right. Belonging to God. And back over, if you would, in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 2, for the life was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness, said John the apostle, and show you unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested, made known unto us, how so? By the Son. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So God, that's what happened. We have a unique oneness. And that's what word son, to have a unique, eternal, wonderful fellowship, the fellowship of life, the fellowship of connected to God Almighty in a most wonderful way. And that's what we're supposed to have. Now, one other place where you hear, over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the Son of God, the child of God, in this case. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons, children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope, this expectation, this anticipation in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So God, as we look to you, as sons, as children, our Father, what kind of love is it the Father has to his family? It's a very strange kind of love that God would take us from being outsiders to be inside, to have no relationship, to have a sonship relationship, the same in the person of Jesus Christ. That is an awesome, awesome thing. Wow. Now, God, that's what you want. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We haven't done very much to even to touch this subject. But I hope you got to understand that God's the Father. Very rarely is God the Father honored in and among his people. I'll bet you if I went and traveled assembly after assembly, God help them, I bet it would be rare. It's just like the return of the Lord. He may come at any moment. That's rare. Father is rare. Being sons is rare. Think of people that you know that are Christians. Quote unquote. Do they come across as sons? They are sons of God. Come on. The world got them. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Picking up, if I may, in verse 14, I won't read them all, but verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Sliding down, what concord hath Christ with Belial, the evil demons? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God, the living God. You are mine. You're bought with a price. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Remember, Christ walketh in the midst of the local assembly. God, here we are. God, I will dwell in them, abide, find my home in their heart. I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wow. Don't love the world, forget the world. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Don't get into any of it that makes confusion, makes things very complex, makes things not clear. To whom do you belong? Are you a son of whom? A child of whom? Well, I have a father. No, if you're saved, I may have a human father. Everyone does. Good or bad, right or wrong. That isn't the issue. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. That's what I want to know. Are you a child of God? I am a child of God. I know the Lord is my personal Savior. And I want to have a lifestyle that matches it. I don't want to be confusing in my communication. And God, you said, verse 17, the end, I will receive you. In what kind of way, God? I will receive you and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So God, what are you telling us? Well, if you do, I want you to have practice being my son, being my child. And I want you to know, I want that I am a father. I am the father of God. I am the father of glory in experience. I am the father of glory in reality. I am the father of glory in all that I am. I want you to know that I am a wonderful God said, I am the person that you think I am. You must come to me and believe that I am, and that I have a wonderful position. I am your father. I have a wonderful practice to take care of you. Come unto me. Come unto me. And be separate. To be exclusively God's, exclusively God, for the outworking of his honor and glory. Sons and daughters representing him, and our relationship, our unique relationship to him, for his riches and his resources, in all of its wonderful way, God, that's what we're looking for. And if you took time to read in Revelation 21, and I will be their God, and they will be my sons forever. How about that? You don't have any other relationship on earth like that. And you couldn't make it. You want your things are hard. I know they are. And so you got terrible situations. I understand that a little bit. But God, you've saved us out of that, all that mess for yourself. So God, I want to exercise my little life in such a way that I honor you. Thank you very much, my Father, for being who you are. I want to trust you. I want to look to you with all my heart. That's what I want, God. That's what it's about. And God, that's what I want. That's what I want tonight and tomorrow. I just want to be yours. I'll do everything, all the ordinary duties and everything that comes. But God, first and foremost, I'm going to do so as your child, as your son. I'm going to be a son. I am a son, in fact. You are a father, in fact. You are my father, our father, in fact. Therefore, then, God, we're going to exercise that. Exercise it. Now, there was you remember, years ago we used it in the process of two little girls. And two little girls were going and doing there, have father, and the father was upstairs, remember? And the two little girls were doing what, one was an older sister and the other was a young one. And the older sister, like people do, played a little game and challenged the little sister and said, I can beat you upstairs to the father. Father was up in his room, sitting there in his room. And in the process, and the older sister said, I can beat you up to my father. Now, big girl just pew, up the steps into the father's son. Now, the little girl, like the turtle, a little up, one step, up came, and the little girl came, and the big girl said, I got here ahead of you, and I have all of the father. And the little girl said, but he has all of me. He has all of me. They're both true. He has all of me. Yeah. God, here I am. Here we are. You got all. You want all. You got it. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word and grace and kindness as we try to plow through and consider this awesome, 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 wonderful, wonderful truths. And God, we don't want to forget and lose the wonderful, wonderful, we want to be so familiar with you in the right kind of way. Holy, heavenly, happy God, our Father. Wonderful Father, my Father. God, thank you very much. Spirit of God, put this all together for us, inch by inch. Help us understand when we received you as our Savior, we became your child. And when we became your child in Jesus Christ, we became sons so that you could honor yourself and we would have all of the benefits of that holy, happy relationship to you, our Heavenly Father, as your children. Here and now, until there and then. But God, it isn't about there and then, it's about here and now. A wonderful, wonderful privilege. I've come that you might have life, you said, and have it abundantly, super duper abundantly. God, we're looking for you, that you would deal with our little heads and hearts and grant us a sureness of our relationship to you in practice, in reality. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.